works today, but it's one of the spiritual warfare passages in Scripture, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It's on the screen there for you, but you can turn there if you would like. Sometimes, as I often do, I underline and make little notes along the verses. And so you can take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 10 to 18, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, which may be different than the one we have there. So, in a second, find it if you would like to, and then we will read. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18, the New Living Translation says this. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I believe this is true for every one of us. The moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, at that very moment, it's not long before you realize something that's very true. The Christian life is not easy. Actually, the Christian life is a hard life. It's hard. It's difficult. It's a struggle, often. We might come to the conclusion by what we hear in some sermons that if you just turn to Christ, everything's going to get easier. It'll be like a life, a bed of roses kind of life. And nothing is further from the truth, because it's not. It is difficult. It is a struggle. And isn't it true that sometimes we stumble and fall in that struggle and we disappoint people? That is true. Why? Because Scripture says it's a war. We're in a warfare. We may think that our struggle is primarily against other people, but it's not. The struggle is not against your husband and your wife or your children. It's not against your boss or your neighbor. We're not at war, Scripture says, with people. For Scripture says, it's not flesh and blood that we war against, but it's against a foe that we cannot even see. That doesn't seem fair to me. I mean, I have enough trouble beating you up. I can see you, but we have a foe that we can't see. It's invisible. It's cosmic, invisible warfare that's going on. It will affect every area of your life and every individual in your life. Let me say that again. This spiritual warfare, this cosmic warfare it's unseen and we can't see it, is affecting right this moment every area of your life and mine and every individual in it. Without exception, Donald Gray Barnhouse said this quote, "Although almost entirely unrecognized by mankind, this warfare affects in one way or another the life of every person on earth." And then he says this. This is for you and me. "Especially the life of the child of God." It's a war that no one can escape. There's no place you can go and hide. There's no bunker you can jump into. No cave you can hide when it comes to this warfare. We all, in one way or another, each one of us, to one degree or another, experience it. This cosmic battle that we're all involved in is like no other war that's ever been fought, ever. The battle that's going on around us right now, it's involving groups like ISIS. In all of its horror, it's almost every night you see some horror, horrific thing. And you think, how could they ever get worse than that? You know, beheading basically innocent people who are just there to help or just there to report on what's going on with the world. And then capturing them and beheading them live on the internet. Or taking a 10-year-old child, wrapping a bomb around them and sending them out as a suicide bomber. Even that war pales in how horrific it can be compared to this particular war that we're looking at here. Pastor Adrian Rogers said this, who is now in heaven with his Lord, said, quote, "There is a ruthless, cruel, underworld system that wars against our welfare, our happiness, and our joy. The mafia crime bosses of this world are amateurs compared to this syndicate ruled by the Prince of Darkness and the Master of Deception," unquote. Your enemy and my enemy is an unseen spiritual foe, and the battle is a spiritual one. It's a battle that's full of casualties. That's the battle that we fight. And maybe you come here today and you feel like you're one of the casualties. You've stepped out of the battle that's raging all around you, and you're feeling you've been hurt by it. Multiple casualties in this world. And many of them are the people of God. There are emotional casualties as a result of this battle that we're all in, that we're all facing. You may feel discouraged or depressed or even in despair this morning. Maybe for you, you're just afraid. And there are circumstances and things that have happened in your life that has caused you to be fearful. There's also relationship casualties. As a result of this warfare, there's conflict. There's distrust. There's unfaithfulness. And all of that causes things like divorce and dysfunctional homes. This battle that we're in, this unseen cosmic spiritual battle, has caused many people to feel insecure. And maybe they're just hurting. It's this battle that's going on. There's broken lives, broken families, even broken churches. It's all the result of this cosmic spiritual battle that's taking place in our world today. There's another one. Maybe you never thought about this. I never did until one writer pointed it out. There's financial casualties in this battle. We thought the problem was he had too many credit cards. No. It's because of the battle. See, the credit cards are only a tool, an instrument. that the enemy can use to destroy us and to bring us down and cause us to be ineffective and worried and stressed and on goes. See, the battle, this spiritual battle we're talking about is cosmic. Worldwide spiritual battle touches everything. Everything in our lives. Adrian Rogers went on and he said this, quote, "There is a cosmic battle raging, and it's a fight to the death with no holds barred. This enemy doesn't fight fair, the one we're up against." Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." We are at spiritual war. Sometimes I think we get busy and we kind of forget that, don't we? And so then we act like our enemy is the one closest to us that seems to be attacking us. He says, "Therefore, the church is not a cruise ship with the pastor as the master of ceremonies. Indeed, it is not a showboat, but a battleship. We're called to see Satan's strongholds crumble under the power of heaven's artillery." That's what our ministries are all about. We're reaching into families through Awana and children's lives. And many of those lives are being destroyed. Why? Well, ultimately, finally, bottom line, the battle. Every Wednesday, Celebrate gathers together. There are those that show up and they've just been wounded and hurt because of the battle. He says, "We do not have the luxury of neutrality in this battle. We must engage in the fight. A truce will never be called, ever. God's will for his saints is not that we merely survive the battle, but that we thrive in total victory in the battle." Isn't that what we want for our lives? Isn't that what we want for those that we're trying to minister to? That they will just not survive it, they will thrive and live in victory. General Douglas MacArthur spoke rightly when he said, quote, "In war, there's no substitute for victory. We should not settle for anything less than victory in our own lives and in the lives that we're trying to help." So first, when we talk about spiritual warfare, we must ask, what is it exactly? What is the nature of it? What is the essence of it? What is the core of the spiritual battle? What is spiritual warfare? What is it? It's not a physical battle. It is a spiritual fight that touches and affects the physical realm in which we live. That's what it is. Dr. Tony Evans gave this definition of spiritual warfare. He said, quote, "Spiritual warfare is a cosmic conflict in the invisible and angelic realm that is being waged in the context of the visible physical realm," unquote. See, the cause of this war is something you can't see. You can't smell it, touch it, feel it. You and I are fighting in an invisible battle that's taking it out on you and me in the physical realm, right? For it says in Ephesians 5:12, again, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." You may not like it, but it's true and it's real. See, what God is saying here is very, very important for us to understand and to believe. God says, you are making a really, really big mistake if you think people are your number one problem. Because they're not. Our biggest problem, our number one problem, And if you do not see and understand that point, you will never walk in victory. If you see people as your problem, then you're going to fight people. You're going to try to use physical weapons to defeat them. And God says, no, the problem is spiritual. It's a spiritual war. And we're to use spiritual weapons. If we use physical weapons and try to fight a spiritual battle, nothing will happen. We won't be effective. We won't have influence. So we need to understand, we need to see this. That the spiritual battle is a spiritual. And we must see it as that. As bad as people can be, they're merely tools or pawns in the hand of another. They're being used, and they don't even realize they're being used. They're under the control and the power. They can't see, and they can't touch or hear or smell. But they're being used. But that doesn't mean they're not accountable. They are responsible, even though they're being used by this unseen director or hand. And the reason why is because the Bible says their very nature, in their very nature, the core, who they are, they're sinners. They're rotten down to the very core of their being, and that's why they're usable. Because of that, they can be used. They can be influenced. They can be touched by the evil one. So behind everything that is physical, there is an influencing power that we can't see, that I can't see, that I can't touch, that is guiding and directing what's going on. Tony Evans goes on and says, quote, until you and I can address the spiritual cause, we will never fix the physical effect. Because what we see and feel and experience is just a physical effect of the spiritual warfare. And so the only way that we're going to be able to affect what's going on here in our lives is to go there. What we must do as believers in Christ is to learn how to fight the spiritual battle by using spiritual weapons. We're also just put on this spiritual armor and use spiritual weapons so that we can stand. Not only that, the only way we can stand is we got to be strong in the Lord, Scripture says. We can't even fight it in our own strength because we'll lose. We're no match for the powers of darkness. We're no match for the evil one in our own strength and wisdom. He's far superior to us. And next week, we're going to look at the history of the battle. And we're going to see some very interesting things, I think, as we see the history of it. But today is just the essence of it, the core of it, the nature of it. We need to understand that. How do we know if we're fighting in this battle and being effective? How do we know? It's really pretty easy. It's the same way any soldier knows that they're fighting in the heat of the battle as they find themselves wounded and bleeding. See, there's a cost to fighting in this battle. Being a soldier of Jesus Christ has its ups and its downs, has its blessings and its cursings. We'll talk to Sandy and Dawn, and they'll share some great blessing and victory in somebody's life that they're counseling. And they're just like, they say something like this, this is what makes it worth it. And then before the day's out, they're coming in and sharing just the opposite. And they're feeling wounded in their own lives. And thinking, and sometimes you forget about the victories and you're just kind of stressing over the defeats, right? And feeling down and that's the battle that we're in, so how do we know that we're in this battle? It's because we will be wounded, and sometimes even bleeding. When we're involved in this battle between light and darkness and God and Satan. Sometimes in this battle, what happens is we stumble and fall, don't we? And we can be captured by the evil one and become their POW. But remember, God will always rescue you. He will always do that. He says, spiritually speaking, I will leave no man behind. Once we, if we, in the battle, we stumble and fall, because we will do that. We will stumble and fall. But from that place, we need to be reminded that God says, I will rescue you. I will come back. I will deliver you. And so he's our hope. The most fearful thing when it comes to battle is to lose hope. The thing that keeps us going is to be hopeful, knowing this truth. So as a result, we turn to God and we don't give up. And God says, I will come, I will rescue you. It may be in this life and it may be in the next. That he will rescue us. And the ultimate rescue, the greatest one of all, is the next one. We think it's this one. No, it's the next one. He says, I will rescue you. I will come for you. Because in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I'll come for you. That is this principle of spiritual warfare. Just like it is in natural warfare. Is that God says, I'll leave no man behind. I will come to rescue you. We need to know and believe that, especially when we stumble and fall. And it's because of that we get up, dust ourselves off, and keep going, because we know, even though we're in enemy territory, and we've blown it big time, that he will come. He's a forgiving God, and will come. You know what's something else that happens to us, not only in this battle that we're involved in, and you know pastors that will stumble and fall, or other Christians that will stumble and fall in the battle, and hopefully they're able to get up and confess and make things right and press on now as that good soldier. But sometimes in the battle we're wounded, aren't we? And sometimes we're wounded by friendly fire. Sometimes the friendly fire that we're hit by, sometimes it's accidental friendly fire, and sometimes it's purposeful friendly fire. And to me, that's the hardest one of all. To be attacked by the enemy, and you know it's their enemy, and they're coming against you, even in the process of you stumble and fall. I can deal with that. I can handle that. But what is more difficult than anything is the friendly fire that comes against you as you're trying your best to fight the battle against the true enemy. Often what happens in friendly fire is it happens out of ignorance. It happens out of ignorance. Good example of that would be Peter. Remember Peter, when Peter took Jesus aside and admonished him and said, you're not going to do that. You're not going to go to the cross. He admonished the Savior. And the Savior looked at Peter and he said this, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He knew who was behind all this. He knew that Satan was being influenced by the evil one. But don't you think Peter thought he was right and thought he was good, doing a good thing and coming alongside Jesus and straightening him out a little bit? And he really did. He had good intentions. He had a sincere heart. He thought he was right, but he didn't understand the big picture. He didn't really understand what was going on. He did it out of ignorance. Jesus understood that. Jesus understood that the one behind what Peter was doing was the real enemy. And he didn't like blast Peter. He blasted Satan, who was influencing him and was behind him. And we see that here in this illustration. Spiritual casualties of war. Sometimes we stumble and fall. What do? We get up, make things right, press on in the battle. Sometimes we're hit by friendly fire. Often out of ignorance, misunderstanding of the total picture of what God's doing, trying to do. And we've all been there, we've all done that, right? But the enemy is pretty smart, as we're going to see next time. Sometimes we're wounded. Sometimes it's by the enemy, sometimes it's not. It can be even a wound from a husband or wife, a child. And we're hurt, but we're still in this battle. We keep going on. See, all wars, no matter what they are, spiritual wars or physical wars, all have casualties. And those involved are wounded. Some of them are wounded up here, not so much physically, with a PTSD type thing. And you know there's a PTSD wounding that takes place in Christians' lives? And I think that was probably more than any others, more than physically wounded, which we see is happening to Christians all over the world. It's because we are in this battle, this spiritual battle. And the enemy is not one another. The enemy is the powers of darkness, Satan himself. So the one thing we must never, ever forget is this. This unseen spiritual battle that we are all part of touches everything in the physical world. Everything. All of our lives, all of our relationships. The job, everything. When it comes to this spiritual war that we're talking about, Satan will try to do a couple of things. Here's what he likes to do. Number one, he will try to get you to not take this war seriously. There are many believers in Christ, and maybe out of ignorance, or maybe just willingly because they choose to, they don't take this war seriously. And if he can get you not to take the war seriously, then he will win. Because all wars are serious things, destructive things, dangerous things, and especially this one. And the reason why this one is so serious, and we need to take it seriously, is because of what's at stake. It's not lands. It's not money. It's souls. The reason we need to take this spiritual war so serious as Christians is because souls are at stake with this one. And they are eternal things, not physical things that won't last. That's the first thing that Satan wants to get us to do, is to not take the war seriously. Number two, the next thing Satan will try to do is to get us to fight it with fleshly weapons. So, he can't get us to not be serious about this thing, because we know what the Bible says, we take it seriously, and then as a result of that, he will try to get us to use fleshly weapons against this war. But we must use spiritual weapons if we want to be effective, if we want to influence those around us. Another thing that we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, there's our third point. What do they rule over? It says this in 6:12, over this present darkness. These principalities and powers, this unseen evil entity and power It says it rules over the darkness. They rule over everything that's dark, over everything that's evil, over everything that's just not right. It's wrong. And we see it, we look at it and go, that's just wrong. They're ruling over that. The word authority is the Greek word exousia, which means authority and right. They have both the authority and the right to rule over darkness. They have authority and right to rule over this realm that's called darkness. And they have a right and authority to rule over all those who are in this realm of darkness. Because there's a passage in 1 John that says that cradled in the arms of the wicked one is the world. And so he has that right and the authority to rule it. Now, that thought indicates something else that just blesses my heart. It doesn't say that he rules over the light, only the darkness. And you and I who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness to where? Into the kingdom of light. And so he has no power, no authority, no right over the light kingdom of which we are part of. Because that salvation, I was translated into that kingdom. 1 Peter says this, says you were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And also says this in Colossians 2:15. I like this one. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Triumphing over them by the cross of Christ. The rulers over darkness, Satan and his demons, they have no power, no weapon that they can successfully use against us. Because he's disarmed them. He's rendered them powerless as far as we are concerned. Because we're translated out of the realm of darkness where they rule into this realm of light. So their only power and only authority is over darkness and not over you and me, because we're in the light. See, they can only, this is important, they can only squat, they don't own the land, they don't own the area, they don't own the property at all. They can only squat on the area or property of your soul, of your life, that you give them, that you allow them to squat on. Because it doesn't belong to them. The only power they have, the only authority they have, the only might they have over your life and my life is what we choose to give it. We must choose not to. We must not give them a foothold in our lives, in our soul, through disobedience, through unforgiveness, through sin. So where do they rule? They rule over darkness and all those in darkness. All those that have not trusted Christ have been translated out of darkness. And so even those people who might come against us or be influenced. Did you ever wonder why it seems like you have a Christian family? They love God, they're serving God, they're doing what God's called them to do, they're doing all that. And then their kids go to public school and they come home all upset because they've been bullied. They didn't do anything. they don't deserve it. They're a good student. You know, they're not causing any trouble or anything like that. Why in the world does the world bully them? Well, who's behind the bully? The influence of the darkness. So don't be surprised when that happens. When someone at work comes against us and we didn't deserve it, we didn't do anything, we're wondering why. Why does this person hate me so? I didn't do anything to him. I've only been loving. And I've worked hard because of what's behind it. The physical. It is the spiritual battle. Where does the battle take place? Last thing we see here. Where does the battle take place? At the end of chapter 6, verse 4, it says in the heavenly places. The battle primarily takes place in the heavenly places, and then it kind of just explodes out from that and touches everything physical. But that's where the battle is, first and foremost. The Bible speaks of basically three heavens. There's the atmospheric heavens, which is the lowest one, that one, the one we live in. Then there's the starry heavens. And with our powerful telescopes, we find out how vast the starry heavens are. You know, they just go on and on forever. So there's the atmospheric heavens that we live in. And then the starry heavens, which if we go up there, we can't breathe. That one has no oxygen. And there's a third one called the heavenly places. Let me show you something about the heavenly places, scripturally. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us there's two things in the heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So we see, based on this one verse, that God the Father is in heavenly places. And not only that, every spiritual blessing is in the heavenly places. And so I tend to think maybe that it even involves our spiritual weapons that have been given to us to use. Is part of that, those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Notice what it says in Ephesians 1 verse 20. It says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So not only is the Father in the heavenly places, but the Son is in the heavenly places. The definite article, heavenly places. And I find it interesting that the places is plural, not in the heavenly place. Interesting why he has it in the plural. So this says that Jesus is also there in heavenly places. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities. Where? In the heavenly places. This says the church is in the heavenly places. God's purpose in all this is to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities. Excuse me. The angels there, unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So the angels are there. The Father's there, the Son's there, the angels are there in the heavenly places. Also, so our spiritual blessings are there. And then one more. It says in Ephesians 2, 6, it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in the heavenly places. So in this place, called the heavenly places, is the Father, the Son, the angels, you and me, and also our spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places. So you might say, physically speaking, I'm right here, and we are. But spiritually speaking, we're already seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And that place and that truth is as real as this truth. That's what we need to understand. We are as much there, spiritually speaking, in spiritual reality, as we are here. We are in the heavenly places, seated at the Father's right hand. in the heavenly places. So everybody is in the heavenly places, everybody that matters, the Father, the Son, the angels, all believers, and our blessings. And according to Ephesians 6:12, it says that's where the battle is, in the heavenly places. So that's where the war is. That's where the battle is primarily. And as it is happening there, it affects and touches everything that there is. And if we're going to win the spiritual battle that's going on, we must understand the battle is not won down here with fleshly tools or weapons. We must see ourselves there in the heavenly places. And we must, by faith, go there and get our weapons. What I believe are part of that, all spiritual blessings. And one of those is victory. And what God has given us to walk by faith in victory. See, it's a spiritual war that's taking place in the heavenly places. And to win, we'll take spiritual, heavenly weapons that God has given us. So the next time you find yourself in a struggle against the power of darkness, the place that the battle is really happening is not down here, but it's up there first and foremost. This is just a consequence of that battle. And if you're going to win the battle that you're facing, you must admit that you will be defeated without divine help. You must admit that the battle you face, you're not strong enough to win the battle. That the battle is His, and we must by faith turn to Him and trust Him to fight the battle in heavenly places. We must bow to Him and surrender, trusting Him to fight the battle for us. Father, we just we're so thankful that you give us a little bit of insight of what's going on the other side of the curtain. That you've parted the curtain of the physical realm of life, and you're letting us see what's going on the other side. Lord, we see in Daniel that the angels are in combat with one another. Father, we see when it comes to the book of Job, that when they part the curtain back, we see and realize that there is a purpose in it all, in the battle that we're in. And we thank you, Father, that the victory is ours as we trust you and have faith in you to fight it on our behalf, as we learn and choose to use physical, not physical, but spiritual weapons. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, in the midst of the battle, to always bow to your sovereign grace and power, knowing that you will give